Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Carnita Smith with my special co-host, Minister Harold Copeland. And we are with you again today to conclude this series that we have been bringing to you week after week, Are You Satisfied with Jesus? And I hope by now you have answered the question as you have walked with us and searched the scriptures with us and pondered and prayed over the word that God has given you through this series. Is our prayer that you have been blessed by it and that you will grow from it. Now, this series isn't a one-and-done series. It is something that you would continue to listen to over your journey of your Christianity. This is a word that refreshes our soul. This is a series that continues to disciple us as we walk through our journey. And I pray that your answer has been, yes, am satisfied with Jesus. And so many of us think about his sufficiency and satisfaction. And if you haven't, give it a try. Look back over your life and think about what Jesus has done with you, for you, and what he continues to do and will do through you if you let him. And so for those of you, my brothers and sisters, who are born again believers, filled with the Holy Spirit, then God will continue to use us as his earthen vessels, as scripture says, or his instruments to be his hands and feet to share his satisfaction with others. We're only satisfied through Christ. And this is what Minister Copeland has been sharing with us through this wonderful series. Jesus is the only way to our satisfaction, for us to be satisfied in him and him alone. So as we continue with this series in our conclusion, Minister Copeland and I want you to come ready, willing, and able with Bibles in hand or your device that has your Bible app on it and maybe paper and pencil to jot down some notes as we continue to walk through this series. Now, again, as I've indicated, this is going to be the conclusion of this series, Are You Satisfied with Jesus? And so just make note that this is a six-part series, and we just want you to enjoy it over and over again as we have come to enjoy it, walking through it with you. So I'm going to bring Minister Copeland to the mic, and then he will continue to be a blessing to us through the Word of God in this wonderful series, Are You Satisfied with Jesus? Minister Copeland?
We gush evermore without ceasing, and all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Hello again, everybody. Shalom. The peace of God upon you. And the blessings of God upon you always. I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith, it is a delight to be back in the studio together again. We always like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio. We want you to know that we love you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for your life. But most importantly, God loves you. Make it personal. Somebody say, God loves me. Yes, he does. But better than that, he has a plan for your life. And every time you are faithful and obedient to his instruction to open your heart to receive the seed of the word of God, God has downloaded a revelation knowledge as the Holy Spirit into your heart. And this divine revelation of knowledge of the Holy Spirit will lead you to God's divine destiny and plan that he has for your life, his purpose, the reason he put you in your mother's womb. And once you step into that divine purpose, then you too can stand and proclamate the oracles of our God to a lost and dying world. They need you. They need the light that God has turned on the inside of you. And as was said earlier, we are concluding this dynamic, life-changing, mind-renewing, heart-regulating, lamp unto your feet series. Are you satisfied with Jesus? And today, we are going to look at the major obstacle between a Christian and his God, or her God, or their God, that a Christian can open their mouth and say, I am still not satisfied with Jesus. And we're going to close out in the place where a believer, a Christian, a realm of divine realm, where a believer and a Christian can position itself. And no matter what goes on in their life, they can always be satisfied with Jesus. Come on, let's dive on into the teaching. And you know, we always like to start out by reading our launch pad scripture. And our launch pad scripture for this series come out of the book of John, chapter number 14, starting with verse 1 through verse 10. Let us read that.
John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. verse. Amen.
Amen. Now, as we close, the biggest hindrance between a believer, notice I said believer, because as Minister Smith said throughout the series, an unbeliever don't even have a chance. They could never be satisfied with Jesus. Only believers could ever get the opportunity to be satisfied with Jesus. But the main word that will stop a believer from being satisfied with his Lord and Savior, because Jesus is that believer's Lord and Savior, but the believer just not satisfied, like Philip. And that word we call is carnality. Carnal. Very small word, but a powerful word. If it can stop a believer from receiving the fullness of the blessing that their Lord and Savior has already provided for them. Now, to most people, when we look at the word carnal, carnality, they think about the word describing something very, very sinful. When you use the word carnal in the midst of most people, they think about murderers. They think about rapists. And that's true. A murderer is a carnal person. A rapist is a carnal person. But carnality isn't limited to only very sinful acts. Oh, somebody, I should, the light bulb should come on. Carnality is not limited to very sinful acts like murdering or raping. When the Bible uses the word carnal, it is describing a Christian that is controlled by his or her five senses. And we know the five senses: what we can touch, what we can taste, what we can hear, what we can see, what we can smell. You heard the term, such and such is a carnal Christian. That means they trust in their five senses more than they trust the word of God. A carnal Christian, somebody that believes the current circumstance instead of walking by faith in the word of God. Somebody that turn away from God and let the situations rule over them. A Christian that goes to the mountain and just see it as a hopeless situation and say, I can't get over it. Oh, I might as well. It just ain't going to work. Instead of trusting God to move according to his word and stand on his promises. A carnal Christian, someone that finds themselves in the valley and wonder why I am in this place alone all by myself. Don't nobody love me. Don't nobody care about me. Ruled by the five senses, ruled by the circumstances, the situation. Give up at the mountain, lay down in the valley, a carnal Christian. And this carnal Christian, and you heard the term, brother such and such has head knowledge. And that's a Christian that has memorized the whole Bible in their head, and none of that word has dropped down into their hearts. We understand what David said when he won a victory over sin. He said, that word have I hid in my heart, not my head. A carnal Christian is a head knowledge Christian, head full of the word of God. but the word hasn't dropped down into their hearts. And David said, I hide this word in my heart that I may not sin against you. And once we get that word in our hearts, the word of God, now we have the word in our Noah. We come one with that word, and that word come one with us. And it's a truth that we have taken out of the Bible, and that spirit of that truth, we allowed it to get into our hearts. And now we know that truth. And the word know in the Bible means having an intimate relationship with it. Amen. With that word. We have an intimate relationship with that word, and that word have an intimate relationship with us. And that word is ours. And Jesus said, when we get intimate with a word, when we get intimate with the truth of the word of God, that word will set us free. A carnal Christian. There was a lady. She was a Christian counselor. And she was counseling this young girl. Now, the young girl felt that her parents was oppressive and totally unfair in their treatment of her. Now, the Christian counselor, the lady who was counseling the young girl, knew the girl parents. And the counselor knew that what the girl was saying was not true. She knew the parents to be good parents. They wasn't perfect parents. I don't think none of us was perfect parents, or none of us had perfect parents. They wasn't perfect parents, and none are. But they loved her. They loved the girl. And they was pointing her in the right direction. And this girl interpreted their demands that she go to church and live a godly life as child abuse. Now the counselor, the lady counselor, who was a Christian, who knew the parents, said, it doesn't matter what the truth was to this little girl. It was true what she saw in her heart. And the counselor said, that's all that matters. So the counselor went ahead and counseled that little girl on how to forgive her parents as if the parents was the problem. That's carnality counseling. That's a Christian operating in a Christian position in carnality. That's terrible. And that should not happen. That is reinforcing the problem instead of dealing, somebody say dealing, instead of dealing with it. In God's kingdom, truth trumps feelings. And feelings is carnality, the senses. Truth trumps feelings in God's kingdom. And when we are more controlled by our feelings than by the truth of Scripture, then we aren't satisfied with Jesus, and we aren't satisfied with the Word. We're just like Philip. Now, this girl should have been made to see the truth, and she should have been made to get her emotions in line with God's Word. Sadly enough today, very few people let the Bible get in the way of what they feel. Now, those who promote feelings over truth will go through life with a chip on their shoulder. And I tell you what, there's a devil out there like a roaring lion. And he will be more than glad to knock off that chip off every single day. There will always be some problems or the potential for a problem in our lives. If we're waiting until all problems are removed and everything is perfect before we feel God, before we feel his love, we will never have his love. We will never have his joy. We will never have his peace. No matter what we go through, no matter what the situation is or the circumstance, how big the mountain is, how low the valley is, what we could touch, taste, hear, see, or smell, one thing is for sure. We always have God's love present with us. It's in our spirits. We always have God's joy with us. We always have God's spirit dwelling on the inside. Our spirit, man. We just need to walk in the spirit instead of the flesh, instead of being carnal. Carnality. The biggest hindrance between a believer and his or her maker, carnality, the biggest hindrance between a believer and his or her Lord and Savior, carnality, the biggest hindrance between a believer, him and her being satisfied with Jesus. Because those that are in the flesh cannot and will not please our God. So we have to rise up a little higher into the higher realm. Somebody say higher realm. Into the realm of God. Somebody say the realm of God. Amen. And to the real us, not our carnal self, but our spiritual self, and to the new creation that was created in Christ Jesus. And when we walk in this realm, we're always chasing after God. We're always depending on God in every circumstance, in every situation, at the mountain, in the valley. No matter how bad we feel, no matter what the five senses are doing, we have a living hope in the realm of the spirit because we are pondering the new things and we are understanding the new things and we are now repositioned in the divine instead of the flesh. Let us read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17.
2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Amen.
Amen. So we open up talking about the biggest hindrance between a believer and his maker or her maker, that believer just won't be satisfied with Jesus. And that hindrance is carnality. And now we're going to destroy that hindrance so we can get into the bridge that connects us heart to heart to the heart of God. Coming one with our God, coming one with our Lord and Savior, being repositioned, as the scripture said, in Christ. A new creation. A spiritual creation, a new creature a spiritual creature. The old things that was in our way that brought dissatisfaction between us and God are passed away. All things, the spirit, our spirit coming alive, and our spirit joining forces with God's spirit, and now those two spirits have become one, and our inner being is of God. And we've been reconciled. We was disconnected because we was too carnal, we was too fleshly. And now we've been waking up by the Holy Ghost. And we have a new divine, spiritual, supernatural life. And now we're connected one on one with our Father, our Creator, our Lord, our Savior, and the supernatural power of the Spirit of the living God. We've been reconciled. And that scripture goes on to say, and he gives us the ministry of reconciliation. It's so good. I know the old song, I couldn't keep it to myself. You see, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I could not. I just, and that's when the spirit, I just can't keep it to myself. I got to go tell it. Got to tell it on the mountain. I got to tell it in the valley. I got to tell it at the grocery store. I got to tell it at the red light. Roll my window down and say, I got a story I got to tell you. Hey, I've been born again. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm connected. My light don't came on again. I got a new daddy. I got a Lord. I got a Savior. I'm operating in a new power. Amen. That's when the Spirit come alive. The Spirit always is after God. And we get that revelation. Amen. We get empowered. We get a running in our feet. A fire start burning on the inside of us. And we begin to get on fire. That's that satisfaction. Are you on fire for Jesus? In the midst of it all. Amen. Things can be going bad in the natural realm, but you ain't there no more. We're not there anymore. We're in the higher abode. Amen. And that's the spirit man. That's the part of us that God saves when we reconnect to him by believing. And God does not save our feelings. He does not save our emotions, which goes along with the five senses. We only get saved in the spirit. After we get saved, we can look at our bodies and it's still the same. There's nothing new about our physical body. And we have a promise of that happening. That is going to happen one day. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we want to read verses 51 through 55.
In 15, starting in 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this incorruptible has put on incorruption, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Amen.
Amen. See, that is the body. And one day, the body will be incorruptible, immoral. It will not be able to die, but we're not there yet. So God did not save our body. That's going to happen one day. The scripture clearly shows us. Now let's look at the soul. One day our soul is going to be fully saved. One day. That comes out of 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 and 12.
1 Corinthians 13, 12. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Amen.
Amen. And we do not know all things right now in our minds. That scripture clearly says one day we're going to know all things, but this is not the day. So our body, according to scripture, and our souls are not completely saved. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, which we read, said, anyone being Christ is a new creature. So we know that they're talking about our spirit. Our spirit is the part that will change. All this great salvation that makes us satisfied with Jesus was deposited in our spirit man when we got saved. And we draw that life out of us through the renewing of our mind. It doesn't happen automatically. Our lives go the direction of our dominant thought. Let us read Proverbs. Chapter 23, verse 7.
Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Amen.
As we think in our hearts. Another book in Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 26. Verse 3.
Proverbs 26:3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Amen.
Amen, amen. I will keep him in perfect peace, who mine stay on me. So if we continue to use our five senses, what we touch, taste, hear, feel, smell, we would experience death, which is death means being separated from God, because we're thinking like the world. Let's go into the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 6.
Romans 8, starting reading verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen.
Amen. So if we renew our minds to the truth of what has already happened to our born-again spirits, we will find the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Let us read that. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2.
Romans 12, starting in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen.
We have found our satisfaction with what Jesus has already done and who we already am in our born-again spirit. Our spirits are complete. Our spirits is not in the process of growing or trying to get more God. Our spirit man is perfect and complete right now. We are spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. One third of our salvation, the spirit man, is over. It's as perfect and complete as it will be in heaven. When we get to heaven, our spirit will not have to be cleansed, will not have to be injected with more of anything. As Jesus is, that's exactly the way we are in our spirits right now. 1 John 4, 17. Let us read that.
1 John 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Amen.
As Jesus is, that's why it's good to hang out in his spirit. That's why the revelation's got to come. That we can't live in the soulless realm anymore. We can't live in the physical realm anymore. We got to live in the spirit, as Galatians tells us, walk in the spirit. And 1 John 4 and 17 just told us, in our spirit man, as Jesus is, that's how we are right now in this world. Our born-again spirit is the spirit of Jesus sent into our hearts. Glory to God. Let me say that again. Our born-again spirit is right now the spirit of Jesus sent into our hearts. Let's qualify that. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6.
Galatians 4, 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Amen.
Amen. Somebody say, Abba, Father. And you know what that translation means? It means, I have a father. I have a father. I have a father. He art in heaven. Hallowed be his name. His kingdom come within me. His will being done in me. That going on in heaven right now is going on the inside of me. I am one with my daddy. My daddy is one with me. I am one with my Jesus. My Jesus is one with me. I am one with the Holy Spirit. Same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is dwelling in my mortal body. And he has quickened me. The word quickened means made me alive. You see, I once was lost in my trespasses and sin. But I heard about this Jesus that they say he will give me a new born again life, that I can be born again. See, I was in the point of my life and I was like, Lord, why did I come out of my mom's womb? What is this life? Life was hard. Life was burdensome. Life was weary and heavy laden. Life had no hope. I was lost. I was blind. I had no reason to live. I had nothing to look forward unto. But then I ran into somebody that was walking in the spirit. Somebody whose spirit realm has came alive. And they began to speak and minister to me. And they begin to bring me out of my low position in life with their words and lift me up to the high realm of life. And then they begin to tell me how they got it. And they begin to tell me the story of Jesus Christ, that they made him their Lord and Savior in their heart. And I wanted that. Maybe there's somebody out there today that haven't heard the story. Well, I'm here to tell you right now, today is the best day of your life, because we as Mission from the Heart, we are a salvation ministry. And doing every teaching, the Holy Spirit steps in and he takes over. And he do what only he can do. He began to bring hearts and to call hearts to the heart of the Father. And what he tell me is, it's time for you to stop, to drop, and pray. And it's time for you to turn the microphone over to Minister Kenita Smith. Because I'm going to use her to take us to the cross. Minister Smith, take us to the cross.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Minister Copeland, for allowing the word of God and God himself to just wash over you, that we can continue to learn so intimately through his word. And we are going to stop, drop, and pray right now, my brothers and sisters. We do not want to assume that every listener to this broadcast is a born-again believer. And just as Minister Copeland said, this is a salvation ministry, salvation through the discipleship of his word through the Bible. And then also, we expose the Word of God, walking through verse by verse, passage by passage, that it would wash over you, purify you from the inside out. And now we've come to the part in the ministry where we extend God, extend Christ, extend salvation to you. Well, how can you extend Christ to me? I'm glad you asked that question, my brother, my sister. This is where we get right with God. In our heart now, we get right with him, not by works, doing good works, not by religion, not even by philosophy, but it comes by faith, that you believe by faith and faith alone that Jesus died on the cross for you, that his blood streamed down his body to cover your sins, that he paid the price for every one of us who come to the feet of Jesus in repentance, asking for forgiveness in thoughts, in words, and deeds that were against God. And so we extend Christ through salvation to you this way. It's just a prayer, but it is a wholehearted prayer by way of who? You. And we pray with you as you pray to him. So this is a time of intimacy. This is a time of realness in your heart, that your soulish man lines up with your willingness to bow your head or lay prostrate or get on your knees and come to a sovereign God who created you in your mother's womb for this purpose right here, and that is to come to know him so intimately and receive the goodness of Jesus Christ through salvation. So we've heard the word through Minister Copeland as he's brought us this wonderful series. Now it's time to pray. Now, remember, we say this at our every broadcast. It's our words, but it's your heart. And thanks be to God, he can see the condition of our heart. So I encourage you, my brother, my sister, don't come with a half heart. Don't do that. We encourage you to come wholeheartedly to the feet of Christ, making your petition known by faith that you need him, a Savior that has gave his life up for you and me. So now let's pray as we go to the feet of Jesus. So now, my brothers and sisters who are already in the household of faith, I encourage you to touch and agree with Brother Copeland and I, praying for our brother or our sister who has said yes to Jesus on this day. And also lift up those individuals that you have been carrying in your prayer concerning salvation, that you call them out by name as we pray. Pray for them that they one day will give their heart, their life, surrender it all to Christ as well. So let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. For I need you to come and bless me, save me, build me up, purify me on the inside, my God. For I know you love me because your word said it is so. And here I come surrendering my life to you. I come with nothing but my heart. I believe by faith that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. There is no other way for me to get to heaven but by Christ and Christ alone. I believe this. Trust you, my Lord, that you saved me. Forgive me in the things that I've said that were not pleasing to you. Forgive me in my thoughts that took me to some dark places in my life, Lord God. And Lord, my actions did not line up with righteousness according to your word. Please, Father, forgive me. I love you and I thank you for saving me today and forever. I pray this in Jesus' name and I give you the highest praise. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God. Go ahead and give him the highest praise. Hallelujah. Say it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we praise the Lord for you, with you, we all come together singing hallelujah praises to our Almighty God. So we encourage you. We are super excited. We encourage you to come to him in all newness with joy and excitement. But we also encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church in your community that you would be baptized by submersion of water and the joy of the Lord is upon you and in you. And so that others will know that you are a Christ follower. This is what we do through the baptism. And now that the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, lives with inside you, he is sitting on the throne of your heart. Praise God. We encourage you also to seek out a Bible teaching church in addition to a small group Bible study, that you would continue to be baptized. I'm sorry, disciple. Sunday school class will continue to help you grow and that you would grow and go in grace. This is beautiful to a believer born again that the world can see that you are changed from the inside out, changing. And continue to listen to Mission from the Heart, for all things are working together for the good of those who love God. And this is you, as we love you also. So praise the Lord as you have given your heart to him. And we are all excited together. So I'm going to turn it back over to Minister Copeland as we come to the conclusion of this teaching series. Minister Copeland.
Praise the Lord. I would like to welcome my new brothers and my new sisters, my new family members into the family of God, being part, first of all, the moment you made that confession of your life to Father God and to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all of your sins were forgiven. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. With a blinking of the eye, all of your sins were forgiven. And you probably breathe in a sigh of relief. Well, you need to breathe a little deeper, because we're not just talking about your sins of yesterday. We're also talking about the sins that we're going to commit today and tonight and tomorrow and into next week and into next month and all throughout the summer. All of them have been forgiven. Now you can breathe another sign of relief. Just don't hyperventilate. Amen. God will not hold sins against you. Never, ever. Never, ever, ever. Because of the power of the blood of Jesus that has washed away every one of your sins. Romans 8:1 say that there is therefore now, right now, no condemnation. I mean, God does not have condemnation to give you. Never, ever, never will. And even if we do mess up, which we will, God will not come in a spirit of condemnation, but he comes in a spirit of grace. Amen? If we mess up, quickly turn to grace. Do not turn to your mind, because your mind is going to be tormenting you and saying bad things about you. And then the devil going to come in with you and what they call a pity party, and you and the devil in your mind just going to be condemning you. See, that's not coming from God, because God promised you, I'm not, never ever do I have condemnation for you. All of your condemnation has been put on Jesus Christ, his son, and Jesus took your condemnation upon him, that the moment you got saved, there is no condemnation available for you. So if you blow it, which we will, let me say we, just receive grace. That's amazing. That's why they call it God's amazing grace. Favor. But I didn't earn it. You on the right track now. Let me help you out a little bit. You couldn't earn it and would never be able to earn it. Amen. That's the beauty of grace. Somebody say grace. Amen. And from this day forward, and this is closing out the teaching, from this day forward, you are never your actions. You are only what the Word of God says that you are. And I'm going to tell on myself, because next week we're going to do a 2-week series called God's Mirror. And that's how we are identified from now on. We're not identified by our doing. We're not identified by a failure. If we do something we shouldn't do, immediately receive grace and let grace take you back into your true identity of what the Word of God says you are. If you sin, if in your head want to condemn you, down that imagination, pull down that stronghold, and receive grace. From now on, in failures, in mistakes, in sin, God do not meet you with condemnation. He meets you with grace, and grace takes you back into who God said you are. You don't live by your feelings. You do not live by your emotions. You live according to the fruit of the Spirit. In your worst feelings, the love of God is always available, pulling you to his heart and his bosom, that you may lay your head on his bosom. If you're discombobulated as a Christian, in your spirit there is joy. Rise up and go into the Spirit. There's joy unspeakable. There's joy that strengthens you. If you don't know whether to go left, whether to go right, whether to stand up, whether to sit down, go in the Spirit. Peace is waiting for you. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled no longer, neither let it be afraid. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, a love, and a soundness of mind. On this journey, if you encounter fear, that's in the natural realm, get in the spirit and let love on you. And let the power of God empower you. And a soundness of mind that's saturated with the truth of the word of God. You have the spirit of Christ because you belong to him now. You are truly saved. So the fullness of God dwells on the inside of you right now, whether you feel it or not. You've been revolutionized in your inner life. You no longer look at things through your physical eyes. Now you look with your heart through the revelation of God's word. And everything looks different, looks good, and looks victorious. You're no longer trying to get God to love you. He already proven that through the cross of Calvary. And you may get distracted sometimes and put your attention on other things. And your emotions may try to rule over you. But just simply get back in the spirit and begin to walk in what God say, what God words say you are, and not how what you can touch, taste, hear, see, or smell. We learned that. That's the five senses. Don't go by what your circumstances say. Do not go by what your situations say. Do not look at that mountain and give up, and don't go lay down in the valley anymore. For God has already given you victory. We don't even have to ask for it. We believe and receive all the spiritual realities and the spiritual truth. For Ephesians 1 and 3 said, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. You're free. You're no longer bound. You're no longer shackled. You're no longer chained. You're no longer tied up. You're no longer going around in a circle, and you're no longer on a backward journey. But now it's time to press toward the mark of the high calling, Christ Jesus. I release the blessings upon you. Let the grace of God go before you. Let the peace of God rest in your heart. And let the love of God overflow within you and through you, that others may see that love and come running and ask him, what must I do to be saved? In the mighty name of Jesus, we give him glory, we give him honor, and we give him praise. Amen and amen and amen. Minister Smith.
Amen. And on that beautiful, blessed note, we are going to end with Minister Copeland blessing us with that beautiful prayer. Always remember, my brothers and sisters, the grass withers, the flowers fadeth away, but the word of God will remain forever. Bless you and have a blessed rest of the week.